I appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate the good singing that we've heard tonight. Amen.
A good spirit in the Lord's house.
Amen.
Amen. I was thinking about, sitting back there, I was thinking about, I heard a preacher not that long ago say, he's saying some mistakes that people make when they're preaching. And I make a bunch of them. Amen. But he's talking about, he said, you should never tell the audience, the church, that you got two different messages and you don't know which one to preach. He said, because the rest of the message, they're going to be trying to figure out if you got the right one or the wrong one. Amen. And I don't necessarily, I had a message on my heart. I thought that I might preach. There in the book of John, went to the book of John and preached on a little while. Amen. I'm glad it's just a little while and you'll be back. Amen. And and some of that went along with the songs as well. And so I'm torn about that. Amen. But I believe I have the message that the Lord have for us tonight. It is a little different than the service so far, but I just pray the Lord have his way. Amen. And so if you look with us in the book of Hosea, right after the book of Daniel, in Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and then Hosea, right? Hosea chapter number 6. I appreciate the songs, as I said, that one talking about, I'm glad I'm saved, amen, and said it, doesn't really matter what happened. I can't say it like it says it, but it doesn't matter what's ahead.
Yep.
As long as we're saved, amen. And I heard, I don't know, some of y'all may have heard it as well, but I heard a preacher, or he claims to be a preacher, and I preached, I reckon it was Sunday, and it's pretty much his whole message was that if God doesn't judge his children, then he probably won't keep serving God. Because all of his children is done against him. And it's not worth it to serve God if God don't judge his children. Hosea served God and did what God said and had a wife that was unfaithful to him.
Right.
Amen. If you're saved, it doesn't really matter what happens.
Right.
That song is right. Amen.
Right.
It's pretty prideful of us to think that we're doing God a favor by serving him.
Right.
No, God saved us. It's the least that we can do to serve him. Amen. And so, Lord, help us be faithful to, if the pastor is like that, how much of a help is that to the people?
Right.
Amen. But I appreciate, the testimony also that even during hard times, even during difficulties, God's still good. Amen. And he is. But I want to take a thought here from the text here in Hosea chapter number 6 and just take just a few minutes here this evening. Verse number 1, the Bible says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal.
Amen.
Us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if you would pray with us that the Lord will help us as we try to preach here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to preach. Lord, I thank you for the marathon time. Lord, it is a blessing to us to get to experience it and get to fellowship around the things of God, even while we're trying to raise a little bit of money. But Lord, I pray that you would bring in the funds, Lord. I know it is a burden on the church here. As Papa mentioned, it's a burden on Daddy. Here, Lord, I pray that you would just help us this evening, that we, as Daddy said, wouldn't be burdened about it this evening, but that we'd worship you, that we'd see what you'd have for us to see from your word. But Lord, I pray that you would help in the rest of the marathon. Lord, I pray that you would move on people's hearts and that it would come in smoothly and easily. And Lord, that you would get all the honor and the glory for it. Lord, I pray you bring it in a way that it would have to be said that it was you that did it. Lord, I pray that you would help us here this evening. Lord, I pray you would touch me. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, I need your help this evening. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's lost, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart tonight, convict them of their sin. Lord, I pray for us that are saved. Lord, I pray that you would convict us of our sin as well, and that we would put aside the things that are drawing us away from you. But Lord, that we would serve you with all of our heart, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. As I said, Hosea is a unique book. And, of course, it is a prophecy. Hosea was a prophet. And sometimes, I think, again, this is very elementary, but it does us good to consider the way that the Bible is laid out. It's not just random.
No.
Right? But it's also not in the order that we think it would be in.
Right?
It's not in chronological order or whatever. There's parts of it that does flow like a story, but it's not just a story.
Right.
Amen. It is true 100%, but it is laid out in categories or in genres, right? You have the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and then the historical books telling the history of Israel, and that is fairly chronological as it goes through there. And then you have the books of wisdom, Job and Psalm and Proverbs and all of these, right?
Yep.
Song of Solomon. And you have these books of wisdom or poetic books. And then you have the prophets.
Right.
And they're divided in half, major prophets and minor prophets. And it's not because of the character of the prophet.
No.
It's not because of his life. It's because of the amount of words or the amount of the prophecy that is recorded for us. And I said, say this. Hosea was a prophet. I believe he served God for many years.
Yes, sir.
This book is not the only prophecy that he had.
Right.
It's the book. It's the prophecy that God inspired for us, for our day. But he had many prophecies for his day, I'm sure. And this was for his day as well. But it's not just for his day. It's for us as well. Amen. And so we see that Hosea, so the Hosea is the first minor prophet. And it appears to me that the major prophets are in pretty much chronological order. Isaiah and then Jeremiah and then Ezekiel and then Daniel. And the same thing is true, I believe, for the minor prophets. I don't know their exact order. It doesn't tell us an exact date. But Hosea is possibly the first of the minor prophets in time. He's prophesying to the northern kingdom of Israel. And when you read through it, you'll see Israel and Ephraim. Of course, those two words are used interchangeably. Ephraim is another way to say the northern 10 tribes of Israel. And the southern two tribes would be Judah, right? And so it's divided into Ephraim and Judah. Hosea is prophesying to Ephraim. And so we understand how Ephraim began as a breakaway from Judah because of Jeroboam and his sin.
Right.
And Jeroboam, and of course we understand God's orchestrating all of this as far as it is the punishment of God or the judgment of God on them for their actions, right?
Right.
But at the same time, it is because of their king and then his choices as well. Amen.
Right.
And so Jeroboam set up golden calves and all of this. He perverted the religion of the Jews. And let me just say this. It's not just the religion of the Jews.
Right.
It's God's way
of
worshiping him. Amen. You look in the New Testament, you'll find in the book of John especially, it talks about, and there was a feast of the Jews.
Yep.
You go back to the Old Testament, and it says there was a feast of the Lord.
Right.
They took the Lord's feast and made it our feast.
Yep.
If we're not careful, we'll take the Lord's service and make it our service. It's all about us.
Yep.
Amen. But no, so Jeroboam made it his religion.
Right.
And his point was is make sure they didn't go down to Jerusalem where God said for them to go to worship. Because he would then lose them, he was afraid.
Right.
And so then you had all the ones in the northern 10 tribes. I believe at any point in the history of Israel, a majority of people did not have faith in God.
Right.
They were not living for God faithful.
Right.
Even when the nation began, you have Joseph and you have his brothers that were not very righteous, right? So the whole time through Israel's history, I believe there's been a remnant that have been faithful to God. When Jesus came, when he came, most of the people down at the synagogue and almost all the people down at the temple, even though they were doing what God said to do by the letter of the law, they did not have faith in God. The religious people were not godly people. And we see that God, the Lord, most of his controversies was with the religious crowd. Amen. But there was a few people. There was a Simeon.
Yep.
that was waiting for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. There was an Anna.
Yep.
There was many people throughout the Lord's earthly ministry, most of them ladies.
Yep.
That were faithful to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Faithful to the Word of God. I'm thankful for that. So, in Jeroboam's day, there was very few that was actually serving God faithfully in Israel.
Right.
But those that were saw how that he was perverting what God said.
Right.
And the most faithful of the Jews that were living in the northern 10 tribes went down to Jerusalem.
Right.
And moved to Judah. And so Jeroboam winds up ruling over a group of apostates. A group of people, mostly, almost all of them, that don't have faith in their heart.
Right.
Now I'm thinking, there's a few here. Hosea, many years after Jeroboam, but Hosea is prophesying to God's people. Now, here's the thing. They're still God's people, even though they don't know God.
Right.
Right? But they are, so Hosea is prophesying to them, but they looked at themselves, oh, we're all right because we're God's people.
Uh-huh.
They would have been quite all right with Hosea prophesying against Edom.
Yep.
Or against Assyria.
Yep.
Or against Nineveh, or against, Egypt, or against, oh yeah, but don't say anything negative about us.
Yep.
We're God's people.
Yep.
Right? And in the first two verses, we find really the first verse, Hosea says, come, let us return.
Yep.
Hosea's not preaching to them. He's preaching to us.
Right.
Let us return. Amen.
Right.
And so I just thought about that. That is an invitation.
Amen.
When we talk about it at the end of the service, we're going to give an invitation.
Yep.
And that's important. I'm not against having an invitation.
Right.
We better be careful that we respond to the Holy Ghost invitation.
Amen.
Because His invitation may not be the same time that we have a formal invitation.
Right. Exactly.
Amen. And y'all know that the altar's open all the time. If the Lord speaks to your heart, you do business with Him.
Amen.
Amen. But here's an invitation from God. But what is the invitation to? He says, come and let us return unto the Lord. And really, if you read down through here, you'll find this is not an invitation to come and allow God to fix all your problems. No, it's an invitation to come and repent.
Yep.
Come in humility right. to the Lord. Amen. And so I titled it an invitation to contrition. An invitation to contrition. That word contrition just simply in Webster's 1828, it says it's an act of grinding or rubbing to powder. It's an act of penitence, a deep sorrow for sin, a grief of heart for having offended an infinitely holy and benevolent God.
Amen.
The word is usually understood, Webster said, to mean genuine penitence, accompanied with a deep sense of ingratitude in the sinner, and sincere resolution to live in obedience to the divine law. What do you say? He's not talking about an ingratitude to God. No, he's talking about an ingratitude to me.
Right.
I'm not pleased with the way that I'm living.
Right.
The problem is most people are pleased
yep.
with the way they're living.
Yep.
But we won't get any help from God until we get to the place where we realize that the way we're living is not the way God said, but it's also not good for us.
Right.
Not good for anybody.
Right.
Amen. You live your life devoted to the flesh, and you of the flesh reap corruption.
That's right.
I don't know anybody that's lived their life in sin. Now maybe they might have wealth, they might have a lot of things, but they all die.
Right.
And usually they die a pretty rough death.
Yes.
And most of the time they live a pretty rough life.
That's right.
Sin, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard.
Right.
Amen. And that's true for saved and lost.
Right.
The way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. So in the Bible, you can't get very far in the Bible before you find an invitation.
Yeah.
In Genesis 6, God gives an invitation to get into the ark.
Yep.
An invitation for salvation. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm glad God extends that invitation, I believe, to whosoever will.
Amen.
I believe He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Amen?
Right.
And he told Noah, come thou.
Yeah.
A lot of people are worried about my husband or my wife or my children or my parents or whoever it is, right? We want them to get saved, but have you been saved?
Right.
Come thou. And then he said, and all thy house.
Right.
But you can't help your house until you get help for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. And then we go all the way to the end of the Bible. There's another invitation.
Yep.
In Revelation 22, he says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Right.
And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. You know what's the problem with a lot of people today? Is they're not thirsty.
Right.
They don't need anything.
Yep.
Right? And a lot of churches are giving out a gospel where you don't need anything.
Yeah.
You just come.
Yep.
God will accept you just like you are. Well, I'm glad that He does accept us like we are, but He doesn't leave us like we are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, in our passage, Hosea calls out to the people of Israel, the ones that are pretty proud of themselves.
Yeah.
I think we're doing pretty good. But they have wandered far away from the Lord.
Right.
Amen. And Israel had forsaken the way of the Lord to serve idols,
yep,
false gods. Now, if you go, this is dealing with Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and they were worse than Judah.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But then I love the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, all these books, and you get down, especially Ezekiel, God, here's the thing about Ezekiel, it's interesting. Ezekiel apparently is a priest, right? He's of the tribe of Levi. And his family is priest. So, Brother Larry, Larned is teaching through the book of Ezekiel. And I saw something last Sunday while he's teaching. I never seen before, but he was talking about that, how that God told him to go to, or God told him that it was his brethren and his family that was the problem. Well, the whole book of Ezekiel is saying that the priests are evil.
Right.
The priests are wicked. Right? And that's what he's saying in that as well. Your family, that's the priest. Right? So, so Ezekiel has some knowledge of what's going on down at the house of God because he is a priest. But he's carried away captive now. But God sends him back in a vision to the temple, and God says, here's why I'm judging Israel. Here's why I'm judge, and here's why I'm right to judge Judah. And he takes him down to the house. He doesn't take him down to the prostitute's house.
Right.
He don't take him down to the beer joint.
Right.
He takes him to the house of God.
Yep.
And he says, here's what they're doing down at the house of God.
Yep.
Here's the idols they're worshiping. And they are saying, who's the they? The priest. The ones supposed to represent God.
Yep.
Are saying, God doesn't see us.
Yep.
God doesn't know what we're doing. And then God takes him a little bit farther and shows him more.
Yep.
And every time, you know, he goes down and shows him the hole in the wall and takes him down into the basement or wherever it was at there and shows him what all they're doing where they don't think anybody can see.
Right.
Including God.
Yep.
And I believe in a majority of churches in our nation today, even ones we would think are pretty good churches, there's a lot of wickedness.
Oh yeah.
Amen. And, we need to repent.
Amen.
Amen. Of our wickedness. A lot of times we feel like, well, we're doing pretty good because we're in a good church.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have sin in our heart, being in a good church ain't going to help you.
Right.
Amen. Now, I'm thankful for the preaching of the Word of God in a good church. Amen. You might get a chance to repent of that.
Right.
Might get more chances to repent of it than others. But I would hate to stand before God having sin in my heart, listening to good preaching, knowing what was right and wrong.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So here's an invitation to contrition. When we look at the fact that they were the people in the world that had God's Word.
Yep.
They were the people that had access to God through the priest and through the temple.
Right.
Nobody, if you wanted to get to God in that day, you had to come through the Jew. They had it right there. And yet they're living wicked.
Yep.
Amen. So if anybody ought to be right with God, it's them.
Amen.
You gotta say this, if anybody ought to be right with God, it's us.
Right.
We are some of the best preaching in the world.
Amen.
Not only that, we hear it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but we get to hear it all through the week on the radio.
Right.
Amen. So, God, Israel, I'm sure that they did look around them at the wickedness of Babylon, the wickedness of Nineveh, the wickedness of Egypt, the wickedness of all these other nations around them. And they say, man, they're headed for the judgment of God.
Yep.
And rightfully so. But you know, the judgment of God is worse for Israel than it was for Babylon.
Right.
Amen. Because they had more light.
Yep.
God said, Jesus said when he's here on the earth, he said, if Sodom and Gomorrah had heard what you had heard, they would have repented a long time ago.
That's right.
Amen. And so Jesus was chastising them there at Capernaum and these other cities because of what he did there, and they just continue living in their sin.
Right.
Amen. So I want to see here the invitation. And again, a lot of times we think about this that, well, God's going to judge the Catholics. God's going to judge the Lutherans. And God, well, but God, the Bible says judgment must first begin at the house of God.
Right.
Amen. And God, I believe God's going to hold us to a much greater accountability than he does those that don't know the truth.
Right.
You think about all the churches today where they don't even preach the truth and they have a pastor that don't even know God.
Right.
And he's just sitting up there telling you what he thinks because that's all he knows is what he thinks.
Right.
He doesn't have any access to God.
Yep.
And yet there may be some people in the pews there that do know a little bit about God. But how much greater is the accountability to us that has a church we can go to that preaches the truth, has a pastor that loves us and cares for us and preaches the truth.
Amen.
And yet, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll just allow sin in our life. And, well, I'm not as bad as they are.
Right.
Amen. Lord help us. Amen. First of all, I want to see here God's plea to a wanton people. In verse number 1, he says, come and let us return. God said, this brokenness that he's asking for, that he's wanting from them, is what he is looking for in us as well.
Right.
In Psalm 34, he says, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I don't see people getting saved coming down to the altar and not having any concern.
Right.
I understand Brother Don Jackson said this because he didn't jump up and shout and cry and run the aisle when he got saved. And somebody said he won't last 6 months. Right? And he preached the gospel for, I don't know, 40-some years, something like that. And he said, that just goes to show that you can't always tell how much gas is in the tank by how loud the horn blows.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's true.
Amen.
Amen. So we have to be careful not to just get caught up on the outside emotions of things.
Right.
But that being said, there's going to be some brokenness
when
somebody comes to the Lord.
Right.
Amen. There's going to be some brokenness. Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Now, as I say this, when we see him like Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, when we see that he is the high and lofty one, we'll see how broken that we really are.
Yeah.
We'll see how low that we really are.
Yeah.
The reason we don't think we have that much of a problem is because we haven't seen God in his holiness. Amen. Isaiah went on to say this, I dwell, he's talking about that high and holy one, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So I say this, I think this is the message that we need to hear today.
Yes, sir.
That we need to be broken. Amen.
Amen.
Webster's definition of wanton. He says it means a wandering or roving in gaiety or sport. Sportive, frolicsome, darting aside one way and the other. Doesn't that just describe the American people today?
Yes.
Just living it up and having a good time living in sin.
Yep.
What does God say? God says return.
Right.
Amen. Amen. It means extravagant. It means loose, unrestrained, luxuriant, overgrown, not regular. That's what wanton means. So the phrase, let us return here, that he says, come, let us return unto the Lord. This implies that there was a time when you was closer to the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Now, if you're here and you're lost, there's never been a time that you've been close to the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Nobody was born a Christian.
Nope.
You have to be born again. That's why Jesus went to the man that was the most proud of his birth of anybody probably in the nation of Israel. He had the best birth of anybody. He was born to a family that was so devout that he memorized the first five books of the Bible before he was 5 years old, more than likely. Right? His parents trained him in the way of God, but Jesus said, your first birth's not good enough. You need to be born again.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how good your first birth is.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who you is born to.
Yep.
Amen. You must be born again. But in application here in the book of Hosea, he's talking to God's people. And there was a time when they were closer to God than they used to be. But now they're a wayward, wicked people.
Yep.
Amen. And in chapters 6 and 7, we find that Hosea describes these people. Look what he says in verse number 4 of chapter 6. He says, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. So he explains to us two things that describe their goodness, their righteousness. It's there for a moment, but then it's gone. And there's a lot of times, you've seen this, you go up to witness to somebody and you go up to them and you knock on their door and you start talking to them and they're cussing and they're doing this and they're doing that. They might be drinking, they might be doing whatever. But when you tell them you come to talk to them about the Lord, all of a sudden they're pretty righteous.
Yeah.
They're pretty religious, right? But if you hang around them very long at all, that will fade away pretty quickly. Amen? That's the way these people were. They were shallow and temporary.
Yep.
Nothing that they did for God lasted. Amen? There's a lot of people that, there's a spark in the pan, right? They can jump in there and serve God for a moment.
Yep.
Till it gets a little hard.
Yep.
And then they're gone. Or right? The Bible warns us about that. Be not weary in well-doing.
Right.
There is a temptation to give up when the time gets hard.
Right.
But Lord, help us to be faithful to the
Amen.
Lord. Amen. Verse number 1 of chapter 7, he says, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. Israel and Ephraim is used interchangeably. He said, when I would have healed them, then they got wicked again. And went back to their wickedness.
Yep.
For they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. We're not careful. You can be raised in a good church and just think, well, I'm going to get by with what I'm doing. Right? What I'm doing is not really nearly as bad as that. I'm not cheating on my wife. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not killing anybody, but my rebellion is going to be all right. Or my unfaithfulness to the Lord. No, God called this adultery. Spiritual adultery. Amen. And he still does today. And he says, they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. You're not going to get by with anything. God's going to remember it all. Amen. One day we'll have to stand before God to give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. Amen. Now their own doings have beset them about. Every man sins when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You can't blame God. You can't blame the devil. You can't blame your neighbor. Amen. He says, here's your own doing. Amen. And it's my own doing. There before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. It pleases some people when we're wicked.
Yep.
And it's true that people that are wicked sinners enjoy when somebody is wicked with them.
Right.
I mean, that they're not happy smoking weed unless they have somebody else smoking weed with them.
Right.
They're not happy drinking or gambling. Right? Yeah. Unless somebody's doing it with them.
Right.
Amen. That's just the way it is. Verse 4, they are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from rising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They're all hot as an oven. Three times he says they're like an oven. They're as an oven heated. They're hot like an oven. And have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth upon me. He says they're like a heated oven. An oven that's heated all night. They're burning with passion,
right. But
not for righteousness.
Right.
They're using their passion is directed toward wickedness.
Yes, sir.
You think about all that we could do if we used the desires that we have to serve God
right. Rather
than serve ourselves
right. Or
to serve the devil.
Amen.
You think, I mean, just anything. You think about the man that robs a bank. He spends so much energy figuring out how he's going to do this. If he spent that much energy to do something productive,
yep. He'd
make a lot of money.
Yep.
But instead he spends that's human nature.
Right.
That's our nature. We do that as well, don't we? When we spend our time and our energy fulfilling the desires of our flesh instead of following the Lord and serving Him. Think of what we could have done with our resources if we'd used it for God. Amen. When we are away from God.
Right.
Israel burned with a passion, but for sin, not for righteousness. Then he says in verse number 8, Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. He's using this analogy of the bakery, right? And it's a bake not turned. I mean, a cake not turned. They put that cake in the oven. And at a certain point, they'd flip it over so it would heat on both sides. But the problem is, Israel's not been turned, and so they're burnt toward the world, but they're raw toward God, heavenward. Because they served their flesh, and they served their sin instead of serving God. The heat that God had prepared for them, they used for their own flesh. A cake not turned. Amen. Then in verse 9, he says, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Samson said, I will shake myself. And the Bible says he wist not that the spirit had departed. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knew it not. So Israel's described as a man that his strength is gone, and he don't even know it. His hairs are gray, and he don't know it. Age is taking its toll, and he thinks he's still like he used to be. That's the way sin will do. It'll steal from you, and you don't even recognize it. Right? God said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moths doth corrupt. Is that what it says? Or where rust and thieves break in and steal.
Right.
You know, all three of those, none of those happen while you're watching it. All three of them happen while you're not paying attention.
Yep.
And there is when you go into the closet to get the coat, you're expecting just to put it on and you don't know there's not but just a thread left.
Yeah.
Because the moth has devoured it while you wasn't paying attention.
Yep.
The only time you notice it is when you need it.
Yep.
Rust works while you're asleep.
Yep.
Right? And thieves break in when you don't know it.
Right.
and you're not paying attention. You go to find the gold that you've got stashed or the money and it's not there.
Yep.
That's the way sin works. You'll think you're doing all right, but one day you'll wake up and everything will be gone.
Yep.
Amen. In verse number 11, he says, Ephraim is also is like a silly dove without heart. It's like a silly dove. Just thinking that all this is provided for it, and it doesn't have to do anything for it, right? Never looking to God in thanks. Ain't that the way we are sometimes?
Right.
We just think everything's just given to us, and sometimes we think, we've already talked about this on the radio some, that God gives us the strength to work. Sometimes we think, well, I've worked for it. It's mine. God didn't give it to me. I worked for it.
Right.
Well, yeah, but if God didn't give you the health to do it,
that's right.
You'd be at home in bed.
Yep.
Broke.
Yep.
Amen. There's a lot of people today that are in nursing homes,
yep,
in hospitals,
yep,
not because of their own doing. It's not because they smoked themselves to death, not because they drunk themselves to death, but because, just because things beyond their control.
Yep.
Amen. I remember when I was young, we went to the nursing home and there was a guy there that was in his 30s, probably, or 40s, that was a racer and he had raced raced on the street, I think maybe, but beat these guys and they got mad at him. They jerked him out of the car and beat his head in the pavement and he was paralyzed because of it. 30-something years old, maybe even younger than that when it happened. I don't know how old he was. Not because of his doing necessarily, right? They didn't have a right to do that to him.
Right.
He didn't. Amen. I'm just saying, we're not here because of our own doing.
Right.
God has allowed us to do what we have done. Amen. And then he says, verse number 16, they return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. A deceitful bow. You pull back the arrow, bow and arrow, and you let it go, but it doesn't go like it's supposed to go. It's not dependable. Can I say that we cannot be trusted when we're living in sin?
Right.
Amen. That's the condition of Israel. But God said, come.
Amen.
Amen. Think about Joseph there again. When his brethren were there and he hadn't revealed himself to them, and finally Judah confesses his sin, says, it's our fault we're here. Because what we did to our brother, and Joseph broke down crying.
Yep.
And Joseph said, I am Joseph.
Yep.
You know what they expected next? You're going to jail, right?
Yeah.
Get away from me. That's not what he said.
No.
When they repented, he said, I'm Joseph. Come near.
That's right.
Amen. And that's the way the Lord is. The Lord's not waiting for an opportunity to judge us.
No.
He's waiting for us to repent.
Amen.
So that he can show mercy. Amen.
Amen.
There's never reconciliation without repentance.
That's
Amen.
Right.
So God says, come, let us return unto the Lord. Number two, not only God's plea to a wanton people, but God's plan for a wayward people. Look here in verse number one, he says, for he hath torn. Notice that. He didn't say somebody else tore. No, God God has judged us. And the judgment's not over yet. Right? They're still going to be carried away to Assyria. But he said, he hath torn. And then he says, he hath smitten. You look up that word torn or tear, is the present tense, to separate by violence, to lacerate, to rend, to wound, to break. This is what God has done to them. To divide them by violent measures, Webster says. And he has smitten. That means he has struck, he has killed. And the Bible says God has smitten Jesus. That's what Isaiah talked about that. He's talking about when he crucified. Had him on the cross. So he's killed by God. They didn't take his life. Amen. They wanted to, but he gave his life for us. Amen. So you could go back. We don't have time to do this, but back in chapter 4, it reveals to us, first couple of verses, that it says the Lord hath a controversy with inhabitants of the land, because this is, it's not that they started being wicked. No, this was their way of life.
Right.
They had chosen to live wickedly. And can I say this? Sometimes we feel like we can get by, and in one sense, we can for a while, but not totally. God doesn't judge us the moment that we sin. Now, there is consequences the moment that we sin. Right? I understand that. But we understand that he says that God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But reaping doesn't happen the same day that you sow.
No.
Right? It's coming later.
Right.
So you can get by with it for a time.
Right.
But there's coming a payday. Like, was said. Amen. So, all of these things has just become a way of life. And so God is going to judge His people. And in chapter 5, He talks about it, Him being like a lion. It's going to tear them. Amen. When the judgment of God comes, it's a dramatic thing.
Sure.
Amen. It's dramatic. Just as surely as the Lord brought harsh judgment upon the nation of Israel for their disobedience. Do you think God's going to judge His people, Israel, but He's not going to judge us that are saved if we live a wicked life? Amen. I don't believe this, that people, a lot of people want you to believe they've been saved 40 years ago and they've never lived for the Lord one day of their life.
Right.
They lived in sin all the time. I don't believe that.
No.
Amen. God does a change. And so I understand, I do believe that a saved man can do anything a lost man can do. I believe it's a saved man can be drawn away of his own lust. I believe that. I believe a saved man can be tempted.
Right.
But God gives a way of escape.
Right.
We don't have to give in to temptation.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So God will judge those who are saved but refuse to walk in His will. Now, if you're lost this evening, God's going to judge you if you don't get saved in the lake of fire.
Right.
Amen. There's no way out of that. That's the judgment.
Yep.
It is appointed that a man wants to die. Now after this, the judgment.
Yep.
There's coming a judgment day. Amen. So God's plan. What is God's plan? God has a plan for those that are living in sin. And that is, He's going to tear. He's going to smite. Judgment is coming.
Yep.
But then He has a promise to a wounded people. He says He will heal us and He will bind us up.
Amen.
The same one that does the tearing does the healing.
Amen.
The same one that does the smiting does the binding up.
Amen.
Amen. When you go in with a wound, sometimes they will wrap that wound up, right? Wrap it up tightly. That's what bind up means.
Yep.
Amen. That's what they're doing. They're binding up, tying it together to gird it. Amen. So Israel has suffered at the hand of God, but if they will return to Him, He will heal them.
Amen.
And that's the promise He's made to us as well, ain't it?
Right.
He said, if My people, I understand He's talking to Israel, but I believe it applies to us.
Yes.
If you're His people, amen.
Right.
If My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways,
yep,
then will I hear from heaven. Now, we want to skip about 17 steps,
yeah,
and just get the hearing from heaven.
Yeah.
We know we have to repent.
Right.
Amen. And will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God wants us to come to get to the place where we just get real with God. Just admit, I really am as bad as you say that I am.
Right.
God is right. Amen?
Yep.
And the Bible says, He's talking to the saved in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
Amen? We just had a revival meeting there at the church. And we had a good meeting. Amen. I'm thankful for it. this is kind of a revival message, right? This is what we need to get revival.
Right.
Is to get honest with God,
amen,
confess to Him, and get right with Him. Amen. I think we can see that we do need revival.
Yes, we do.
Just like Israel. Now the problem is Israel was okay with themselves.
Yep.
They laughed at Jeremiah.
Yep.
They laughed at Ezekiel. They come down to Ezekiel. Remember that? They come down to Ezekiel and they said, "We need a word from God." And God said, "I've already talked to them.
Yes.
They've rejected everything that I've said."
Yep.
They're just wanting to come to be religious.
Yep.
How many times we do that? We come to church just to be religious.
Yep.
We're not really looking for something from God.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad if we come looking, we'll find something.
Yeah.
I believe that. Amen. I believe every time we come looking, we'll find something.
Yep.
I'm thankful for the promise. We know Israel didn't repent. They didn't get right at this point. God sent greater judgment upon them through Assyria. And then God sent the Babylonians to take Israel captive, Judah captive. But if they were to repent, God would have healed them then.
Right.
Amen. They got to the place where God said, "I'm not going to heal your cry." And He said, "You're going to spend 70 years in Babylon." Those verses we think about, "My ways are higher than your ways," all those things. "And if you call unto me and I will answer thee," all of that is predicated by the fact, not now. Because right now is the beginning. You're going to be in judgment for 70 years.
Yeah.
But if you'll believe my word and be righteous and holy, when the judgment's over, you can call unto me and I will answer thee and I'll take you out of here. That's the promise of God.
Right. Right. Amen.
Amen. A lot of times we want everything just to be hunky-dory and great. Sometimes we have to go through some hard times. We have to go through some trials. We have to go through some judgment sometimes because of our actions. But we can find grace. Habakkuk, wasn't it, said, "In wrath, remember mercy." Amen.
Amen.
Was that Habakkuk? Haggai. Hey, I don't remember. Anyway, Habakkuk. Amen. He was confused about why God would judge Israel, God's people. But when God revealed to him why, then he said, "Yeah, you're right, Lord. But in wrath, please remember mercy."
Right.
Amen. Amen. We need to get to the place where we say, "God, you're right for what you're doing." Amen. But please show some mercy in this.
Amen.
Amen. God will respond when we are broken.
Yes.
When we come to Him like that. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Ain't you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hope the Lord showed us something from His Word this evening. Let's all stand to our feet. Daddy, have you come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray You'd help me. Lord, I pray You'd help me to be faithful to You. And Lord, where You convict my heart, Lord, I pray You'd help me to admit where I'm wrong, Lord, and to seek help from You. And I know that you made a promise that You would help us. You'll forgive us when we fail You. Lord, we know we need that. Lord, I pray You'd help us, Lord, to be honest with You. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.